This evening?
No, better off, is it?
Pardon?
Better off.
Not a problem. There's two more we'll be praying for this evening for Pat and Steve. Don't forget Christy and Taylor and Esther. And we're glad to have Christine and Charlotte and William and Adrian with us this evening too. So shake hands, at least nod in each other's direction if you're that way inclined later on. We don't mind shaking hands in this church. So if you're happy with shaking hands, that's good too. But we'll sing another song or two, and then we'll have... Will, are you still good to...
Yes.
Amen. We'll sing another song or two, and then we will have our Bible reading. Yeah, that's a good one. Unfortunately, do you know 389, bring them in? 389, we'll try. We haven't sung this one for a while. The reason I asked my wife is because she's playing the keyboard for all the ones that are not on the music machine. 389 is Bring Them In.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert,
bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them.
Amen. Take your Bibles and follow along with Will as he comes bring us the text for this evening.
Thank you.
Tonight in the Gospels, to Psalms chapter 13, 14, and 15. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against them. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Chapter 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all to God come filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Heed up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. He ashamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. And finally, Psalm chapter 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue or doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and teacheth not. He that puts not out his money to usury, nor taketh a reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will.
Some good verses there. And the Bible reserves, I'll not call it an insult, but a description, the worst of them for people that don't believe in him, the Bible calls that person a fool. And just in case someone's reading Psalms and didn't see it at 14, it's mentioned again in 53. It is very, very serious business whether you believe in the Lord or not. So serious, in fact, that the Lord gave his life on the cross of Calvary. So that, just to make it sure. Amen. Just want to remind you all, I think everybody here is knows what's going on, but we'd ask if you would pray for Andrew and Julie and the family. Andrew is in hospital at the moment with a bad dose of COVID, so we would appreciate your prayers for him, especially for the rest of the folks that are in Alpengelvin, and for the family. It's a difficult time. Please do pray for the whole family. Amen. Just write that down and make sure. I also ask that you would pray for Steve. By all accounts, he's having a rough day. Pray for Pat too. She ends up looking after Steve whenever he's having difficult times. Keep praying for Christy and Taylor. They normally sit back there where the two gentlemen are, the strong back row, if this was a rugby scrum. And they're normally sitting back there. Please do pray for Christy's granny Esther, and pray for his mother too. She is having a very, very difficult time home again, but still not in a good place. She needs to get saved, and the Lord has dealt very, very kindly with her over the last few years and given her many, many opportunities. Please do pray that she takes one of them. Now, I want to thank everybody in the church. Now, this one is for you. We're not looking for something from you. I just want to thank you for all of the support, for the elbow grease, for the prayers, for the money, for the food, for everything that has gone into keeping the wall, getting the outside walls painted. Will got the walls painted at the back and helped with lifting and carrying and dumping, as did Colin. And most notably, the foreman. We have to get him a special clipboard, high-vis vest and hard hat. But Norman has been the driving force behind getting the renovations done on the outside of the church. I must apologise, the inside is not yet done, and you're not seeing her at her best, but I would say, before we get too far into 2022, that she will be looking her best. So I want to thank you for everybody that has just put their shoulder to the wheel, if that's even the right, with our nose to the grindstone to get us this far. It's very much appreciated. I'm glad to be looking back at it instead of looking forward to it. It's all that is. But amen. Thank you. There's a lot going on in the world. Our leaders need to be prayed for. And I want for you, if you're concerned about the way things are right now, we're going to have a moment of panic, and then the rest of the service will be peaceful. There's a new variant out, the Omicron variant. There's always a new variant out just when it seems like things can go back to normal. This is the third or fourth time I've said that for every new variant. It's not any different to any of the other ones because they're still given the same inoculation. It is still very sore on some people, so I'm not making light of it. It can be a bad flu for some people. But it is no different to what it was just about a year and three quarters ago. Look after yourselves. Treat your bodies properly. The Bible says your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and you ought to look after it. So look after it. Eat properly. Get a bit of exercise in and get a good night's sleep. That'll keep the body right. Make sure you feed your soul as well.
Amen.
Get a few verses of scriptures in there. Commit them to your heart. Not just a read, but a read 10. Anybody here ever do poetry whenever they were at school? How did you learn your poems? I used to learn mine marching around the kitchen, reading it over and over again. It was the same with the children and the Hulk. If that's what it takes to hammer a verse of scripture into your heart, do it. Do it. Some of those scripture verses are like a stubborn old nail. Not right, Norman? Sometimes they need hit three or four times. Scripture verse is exactly the same. Put that in there and see how it warms and strengthens the soul. Very important that you do that. A lot to pray about. If your prayers take less than 5 minutes, you're missing the point of being a Christian. There's leaders, there's family, there's friends, there's your church family, there's yourself and your daily needs, your daily bread. Don't be afraid to pray about those things. The things that trouble you, the things that trip you up, the Lord said, pray about them all with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And here's God's promise to you. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's God's promise. That's in Philippians chapter 4. Please do pray. We miss our absent friends. We welcome our present friends. And we are going to have a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for again, Lord, the open invitation, whether it's back-to-back prayers, whether it's prayers with a long time between them, Lord, we are thankful that through the blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, we can enter boldly into the holiest of holies, your very presence. That place where men in years gone by dared to enter in unworthily and forfeited their lives, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you for this invitation, for this cleansing, for this refreshing that enables us to call you Abba, Father. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the good sense to accept the finished work of your Son on the cross. Lord, please, I pray, would you grant our prayer request, just very especially for Andrew and Julie and their family, for all those that are connected. Lord, we pray this night, please lift them up. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors this evening. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been and gone. And I know some of those ladies are just not 100%. And I would pray your good hand upon them too, Lord, that they would know there's a God in heaven and he's not done with us on earth. Please, amen. Father, please, please touch all of our bodies, Lord. Please, Lord. And now I pray and thank you, Lord, for the Bible readings this morning, for Will reading this evening, to Norman this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the voices that have been lifted up. I thank you, Lord, for those good old hymns that have been preserved in the face of that CCM nonsense that seems so prevalent these days. And I pray, Lord, that you would be one of our number. You have promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, that you will be there. And I pray your presence this evening. Walk up and down the hall, Lord. Minister to each one of us. Show us our failings, Lord, just between you and us. And Lord, please, I know there's a solution for every problem we have, and we know that you're up, Lord. Please bless us, keep us, and watch over us. And be with, Lord, every single believer that is meeting in your name. Please chasten, please straighten, please comfort, please, Lord, strengthen. Please give portions of wisdom and boldness, Lord. And help us, Lord, I pray. We love you and praise you. And Lord, we also ask for your hand upon our country's leaders, upon, Lord, the people in general, that you would take away the spirit of fear. We know, Lord, that's only good for Christians. But Lord, that you would just show yourself to people. Please, Lord, please save souls. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Sing another hymn. I'm happy to take a favorite if somebody has one. If not, I have one right here.
246.
Do we know it, or is that a rabbit from the hat?
No, it's redeemed.
That's good. We'll remain seated as we sing 246. You'll have to forgive me when I ask that, because sometimes people just have like a wee pull-a-wee number out and nobody's ever sung it before. So I'm wondering if I'm going to have to work for this or I'm going to be able to enjoy it. 246. Redeemed.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by
We'll sing another one or maybe two at the end of the service, but for right now, you can put those books away. If you have your Bible with you, take and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Lord's really putting it upon my heart to go out on a limb as we read this, because these are memory verses that I have been working upon. I would like to read the first seven verses. Actually, I'd like to recite them from memory and make a fool of myself, but just to show you that it is good to learn the verses of Scripture. I'll take my glasses off, and if I stumble through it, that's me and my pride speaking, and if I get through it, glory to God. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There you go, you see what I mean? And those things which you have heard amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth, is it, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that has chosen him to be a soldier. Give me a second. And if a man strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I didn't hash that up too badly, did I? I've been working for many months on that, and sometimes I've been going back and forwards on it. And I just want for you to know that I'm thanking the Lord for bringing that all to my remembrance. And if he did it for me, he will certainly do it for you. All you got to do is jam them in there. I have been thinking continually over verses 4 and 5, and well, and 6 and 7, over this past few months, because there is a great assault upon God's people in these last of the last days. So I want for us to spend a few moments thinking on the subject of enduring hardness. Enduring hardness. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, please bless this time in your word, and help us, Lord, to understand, to see, Lord, to consider what it is that's being said to us tonight. And more than that, Lord, convict us of it and strengthen us to meet it, Lord. Give us boldness and wisdom, I pray. Bless each and every head that's bowed in your presence. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to our families. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you for indulging me in that. I always, whenever I say those things, I have a little bit of trepidation whenever it comes to the actual execution, but God is good. I always like to have just a quick run through the verses that we've read, because many times it's not just the message that I want to bring that's important to some people. There could be a verse before or a verse afterwards. Bearing these verses in mind, and before we get a look at them, I want for you to understand that the book of 2 Timothy was written to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, by a much older, more experienced preacher called Paul. And he had gone through the mill quite literally. I'm not quite sure of all of the difficult times that Paul had before he wrote these letters, but he was stoned a few times, he was whipped a few times, he was starved, he was set upon, he was imprisoned. And it didn't just happen like that. These things took time. Imprisonings wasn't just like 48 hours for stepping out of line in public. It could have been weeks and months and even years. And those beatings that he got, it wasn't like a slap on the wrist and off you go. Has anyone ever heard of the birch that they used to have in, was it the Isle of Man or one of these places? If you stepped out of line, you got the birch And surprisingly enough, they had one of the most crime-free areas in the world, which you would if you knew you were going to get the living daylights knocked out of you whenever you misbehaved. Paul had a tricky time. And he knew what he was talking about when he was putting this in writing to Timothy and saying, "Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ." Because there is going to be a lot of things that you and I put our faith in, things that we can put our hands on, people that we can call that are going to fail you. And they might fail you on purpose. You might find someone you think is a friend has actually got like a Johnny Rambo survival knife, and the next thing you see is the point of it sticking out of your chest because they've stuck you in the back. You might get that. Or you might get someone that accidentally lets you down through a failing of theirs. They let you down. The lesson is that you depend upon the Lord. People will always let you down by accident or design, but the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. Yesterday, today, or forever, He is the same. We can depend upon Him. And we ought to learn to do that. And little things first, and then bigger things as we see God is faithful. And then bigger things and bigger things until we're trusting Him with everything. I'm still working on it. I'm not standing here saying I've got the job done. Wouldn't it be boring to get like halfway through your life and have everything done and nothing to look forward to in the Christian life? But there's always something to do. There's always a bit of growth. One of the things that Christians feel very badly at is the Scriptures. Very badly. It's one of the reasons why so many Christians, and even born-again Christians, are such easy prey for the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists. We don't know the Scriptures. And that's why it's important to preach the Scriptures, to know the Scriptures. Paul said, "The things that you heard of me amongst many witnesses," in other words, so that it can be confirmed. Make sure people know it, make sure preachers know it, and spread the word. Unfortunately, they couldn't just go down to Easton's and buy a KJV off the shelf. They had to depend at this point in history in the word, on actual words. People reciting it, recounting it, writing it down by hands. If anyone has a notebook here today in years gone by, that was going to be included in the Scriptures. So can you imagine? I would be horrified to think that my spider crawl across my pages was going to form one of the books of the Bible. But these men, Timothy was instructed to make sure faithful men knew the Scriptures and passed them on. It's very important that people hear and understand, apply and preach the Scriptures. Because we love to hear the Scriptures, and we love to read the Scriptures. We're not so keen on preaching them, and we're even less keen on applying them to our own lives, but it is necessary that we do. And I hope and pray as the message goes on, you'll see why. And this is the bit that we are taking for our script, for our text this evening, where Timothy is told by Paul, tough times will come upon you as a preacher. I heard of a preacher years and years ago that was just starting out, and he was called to a church and he was ordained in the church, and there was a deacon in the church. That's not why there's no deacons in this church. It's just not big enough for deacons in the church. You just pitch in and do what you can. There was a deacon in the church who wanted to run the church, and he squeezed that pastor so hard that he recounted to me that if it hadn't been for a woman that worked in, we'll not name any names, but KFC might be in there. That might be a sore point with some people in the church. If it hadn't been for a woman in the KFC bringing home to his home the leftover chickens and giving it to him, he wouldn't have been able to eat some days in the week, him and his family. You are going to have tough times. The Bible continually exhorts us to not put our faith in people and to not make sure that our joys are tied up with how people treat us, but to put our faith in God and to tie up our joy in Him. Because if someone comes and takes the keys of your car, you'd get very annoyed about that if your car was your pride and joy. If someone came and stole your bank cards and your bank account number and your PIN number and making money was the thing that you enjoyed most in life, you'd be heartbroken. But I'll tell you one thing that nobody can take off you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important to us, and we don't realize that God said, look, I am going to keep you in the palm of my hand. I'm not depending on you to hold on to me. And I'm glad because my hands are still sore, Norman. They're still stiff from doing all that one there especially. I'm glad it's Him that holds on to me and not the other way around. And Jesus said that. And we ought to remember that, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will guide your steps. And that's what we ought to tie up our loves in. Jesus said, He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal and destroy. We need to remember this, because there are so many things that are out there in the world that want to hold on to you and drag you down, a bit like a monster out of one of those science fiction movies where the guy sets foot on a foreign planet and all of a sudden there's something wrapped around his leg and it's dragging him under the ground. I just live about 800 yards away from here, and every year you start to notice this weed that starts to grow around the plants. And you notice that I have about 7 cats at the moment, and you notice all the wee seeds for those weeds stuck in their fur. And that's what it reminds me of. It grabs on to anything. It'll tug at your clothes. And when you pull away, it'll leave a little seed pod on. And that's the way a lot of people, Christians, a lot of saved souls live their lives. They're tangled up with things in this world, whether it's stuff, whether it's character traits. They're tangled up with a lot of things. And I want to point the finger, not at a few people, but at a few of these things. And I want to show you what the Lord has for us that helps us get past those things. First of all, in our scripture verses, it says, if you were really going to war, and there have been times in our recent history that people have had to go to war, what you do not want to be worrying about is if your mortgage is being paid, if the kids are being picked up at school, if your favourite TV program is on, about going out for your mates with a pint or going to the cinema. I don't agree with drinking, but a lot of people seem to worry about it. You don't want to be worrying about that. You're not going to be worrying about the dishes and whose turn it is to wash and dry them. Those things are tiny and petty and inconsequential when it comes to your life. They mean nothing whenever you are fighting for your life on a battlefront. Those things have been committed to other people. And God says there are a lot of things in this life that we ought to have committed to Him so that we can live as Christians, so that we can show God in our lives. Now, whenever I was starting this off, I put these things down. I thought, Lord, would you give me some characteristics of folks who are quite literally bogged down in this life? And I started writing, well, people get bent out of shape about getting revenge. Some people get bent out of shape whenever they don't get their TV or their entertainment or their computer games. Other people will they'll start to get withdrawal symptoms if they haven't had an adrenaline jag. They talk about jumping off of bridges and getting a thrill as they go down. Try jumping off scaffolding and see how that... what a G-up that gives you. Don't recommend it. Some people get very petty. I actually fell off the scaffolding outside. That's why I mentioned it. It does give you an adrenaline jag, let me tell you. It's not one you want to repeat. Some people get very petty. And every little thing annoys them. If it doesn't go the way they want it, they get bent out of shape. And that would lead on to short-tempered, impatience, impulsiveness. I think it maybe could all be summed up with selfishness. But if you're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, skip forward to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and let's read a few verses, because God says it so much better than I do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, and this is Paul to Timothy nearly 2,000 years ago, and he's warning us about the last times, and he says, this know also that in the last times perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that doesn't mean they wet their pants, it means they can't control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, and then it moves on to the preachers, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It says, from such turn away. And I was looking at that, and from verse 2 up until it says, from such turn away, there's only commas and semicolons. In other words, it says to turn away from all of those people. Talks about what they get up to. But that's the way people are today. And they have never been instructed by their mothers or fathers or the person that's supposed to love them the most how to control themselves and how to understand that saying no is not going to make the world stop spinning and you'll fly off into space, that the world will continue to spin and you will learn a valuable lesson that everything in the world does not revolve around you. I don't know who was it that discovered the earth went around the sun instead of the sun going around the world.
Galileo.
I had Copernicus in my head, but that'll work for me. It's some bloke hundreds of years ago. Well, do you know what? For all of our wisdom and our scientific understanding, most of the world thinks the universe revolves around them, and that's no joke. They think quite literally that everything should be done for them. And sadly, that means that they sit in their backsides doing nothing and everybody else drops stuff in their lap. Norman has probably heard most of the preparation for this because it's something that has been on my mind for many, many years. But nothing ever gets done like that. If everybody's sitting on their backside doing nothing, getting everything dropped in their lap, who is producing the food? Who is making the food? Who is wrapping the food? Who is delivering the food? Who is cooking the food? If everybody sits on their backside doing nothing, who even makes the TV programs that you sit on your backside watching whilst you do nothing? Who makes the video games? Those things is hard work for somebody. We are not used to hardness. We have given in, even as Christians, to the temptations of the devil, to the desire to be like other people. And I don't know about you, but when I was wee, if I had a toy that had a battery in it, I had to see how it worked. So I had the toy in one hand and the screwdriver in the other. And many of my toys never went back together again. Because I was good at taking them apart. I was not so good at putting them back together. And before I knew anything about anything, one of the things I wanted was a soldering iron. So I could dismantle circuit boards. I am sure all the components were blown to smithereens by the heat, but I loved to desolder circuit boards. If people don't know how to do those things, how in the world is this up-and-coming generation going to patch a hole in the roof, put on a new plug that has just been stepped on or rolled over as they shift a washing machine or a cooker for the sake of a pound and a screwdriver? That reminds me, I have a couple of screwdrivers of yours. For the sake of a pound and a screwdriver, they're going to say, oh, my fridge, I've got a 5-year warranty with you, my fridge has stopped working, could you come and replace it? And someone has to get in a van and carry a new fridge and do all the nonsense and dribble just because some golfer can't be bothered to learn how to wire a plug. They would rather have somebody else do it. The word of God says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. When it happens to you, don't lose the plot. And what hardness are we talking about? Are we talking about, no, I'm hard? We're not talking about that hard. Any fool can go and pump iron. We're talking about character. We're talking about strength of character. And again, I want to tell you, we're all touched by it. There's not one person in this world that can't be riled up. We're talking about when someone takes something from you that you say very philosophically, and you maybe have to work at it at the start, well, Lord, that's gone. But I know, Lord, that if I commit that to you, you will make up the difference. I will learn to live without it, or the person that has it, you'll sort them out one way or the other. Or if you give it to them, the Bible actually promises for everything that you sacrifice for him in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that he will have something that's 100 times better for you here and now in this world. That's God's promise to you and I. Thing is, we want 100 times better, but we don't want the sacrifice. Have you ever been to a shop and they've given you the wrong change? I make a point of, if it's even 10p, I will say, if I'm overcharged 10p, or if I get 10p more, I will say, hold on a wee second, that price is supposed to be 10p less. And I'm not calling that out for me, I'm calling that out for the other 100,000 people that's going to be giving you an extra 10p. That works out about 10 grand that company makes by a, in quotes, mistake. On the other hand, if the supermarket says to you, here's your change of 20 pounds when you only gave them 10, are you prepared to forego the, woohoo, I got a tenner, and say, look, I think you've given me too much change. Here it is back. And they'll say something, well, that's very unusual that you should say that. What do you do? That is your gilt edge invitation to preach the gospel. It's because Jesus saved my soul, and it's not my money. It belongs to you, and that would be like stealing. God would take it out of my hide if I knowingly took that. Is there an opportunity to, are you prepared to endure the hardness of foregoing that tenor? Are you prepared to endure the hardness? It's amazing how hard it is to look at wee fingers pointing at you and people say, are you a holy Jew? Are you a Bible thumper? Are you a Moses? Even being called a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness is actually a compliment to you, believe it or not. No, I'm not a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, but I do knock doors and I do challenge people about their eternities. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to not get bent out of shape whenever these things happen? Are you prepared when opportunities don't land at your feet like they used to because of your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? You just say, Lord, this is the path I've chosen. There are more important things than get invited out to your colleague's house for wine and cheese on a Friday night. There's people's souls are at stake. And if I go out there, they are going to think that my faith is worth nothing. That I will quite happily forsake the fact that every single soul in this world knows that you shouldn't drink. And it's bad for you. And every single soul always looks for the excuse to drink. Well, but Jesus made the water into wine. Aye, he did. But when the people drank that wine, they became stone cold sober. And they knew as soon as they had drank that fresh grape juice with all of its sugar and water and vitamin C, the three main ingredients in every alcoholic knows will pull you back from the drink of a raging hangover, that fresh grape juice has them all. But they were able to comment on how much better the wine was to the leader of the feast. Everybody knows you shouldn't drink. And yet they'll go and do it. And if you turn up, Christian, you're saying, yep, God says it's okay to drink. And plainly says it isn't. And people say, well, why don't you go out to the pub or the nightclub and you can get yourself a wee girlfriend or a boyfriend? And you can spend the night and have a bit of fun. No harm, no foul, and everything's good. The Bible plainly says that a strange woman, or indeed a strange man, is like a deep ditch to the Christian, to anybody. And that nipping together of two people will drag you down to the depths of hell. That's in Proverbs. From the wisest man in the face of this world, bar Jesus, Solomon. And he said, are you prepared to forgo these pleasures as you seek out lost souls? Because friends, that's what is expected of you. That doesn't mean that you're going to sit with a stern face and a big long chin with your head stooped down and I just wear grey because I like grey. And grey, a grey man in a grey suit on a grey day every day of your life. There are pleasures. There are thrills. It's just that Christians don't go looking for them. We want the things of the world because the old nature on us cries out for them. But we need to say no. We need to catch a grip of ourselves. What did Paul say? To bring our bodies into subjection. To say no. And everybody that's sitting here knows what's right and what's wrong. We're not stupid. It's deep. It's almost like built into us. We know what's right and what's wrong. And yet, we give in. And we go crawling back to God. At least I hope you do, on your hands and knees, begging for his forgiveness. Friends, life as a Christian is difficult. There's only a narrow road. It's a bit like the path from here to the back door. It's that wide. Because the rest of it is all chairs. Now, I remember children, if you said, you have to get to the door, but you're not allowed to walk down there, they'd think, oh, that's great. And some of those kids would go up and down over those chairs and through the gaps in them, like a dolphin through the water, and they would think it was wonderful. And they would even try and beat you as you walked down the back of the church. But that's not life, that's children. There's a narrow road. And that road means there's a lot of things on either side of it that it's not for us. There's a straight and a narrow road that leads to life, the Word of God says. And that broad road, that road that everybody's carrying, that broad road that accommodates drinking, that broad road that accommodates drugs, that broad road that accommodates all forms of immorality, that broad road that accommodates blasphemy and profanity and idolatry, that road leads straight to hell. And you obviously said so, do not want anything to do with it. So even though we feel the draft, because, and let's be honest, in the Old Testament, the words or the teaching of the Lord always saving a remnant, sometimes it feels like you're on your own. Even in Christian circles, it means that there's a lot of things are plucked away from you, and that hurts. There's a lot of things you have to drop, and that leaves a draft. And there's a lot of things you have to do a lot of work to overcome. And it's not easy. If it was, every single man jack of us would be doing it. Well, I want to tell you, God always makes a way. makes a way for you to avoid or to bear temptation or even to escape it. He makes a way to strengthen you to overcome it. Isaiah 4, first one's 1 Corinthians, second one's Isaiah 14:31. If you do it God's way. I have come across vicariously through my wife people that were literally dying to have a man or a woman. And in Christian circles, they don't shack up together. They get married early and foolishly and stupidly. And their lives are a train wreck. And Monica has a number of friends that happened to. Monica always said she was only ever going to marry the one for her. And she got me instead, but that's another story. I was resigned to being a bachelor, and I was standing about there one day, and I said, Lord, and just in the middle of the church service, Lord, without a wife, how can I minister to the ladies in the church? And it wasn't too long after that the wheels started to turn, and the Lord brought Monica and me together. There's a proper time. There's a proper time for that. I apologize to my wife up front, but I went out with three or four other young ladies before that. And because they weren't of God, I ended up hurting myself. I ended up putting off the day that I would meet my wife until I was I 42 or 41 and you were 42? Because I'm younger than my wife. Although I've lived a harder life, so I look older. Are you prepared to do that? The number even of young ladies that Monica has been in touch with and spoken to in churches that would literally die if they had to wait until they were 40 to have a husband. We think it is our right to have relations with people whenever we don't even know how to tie our own shoelaces or to boil an egg. And it's not. It's a road to disaster. Are you prepared to put that off? I know, but life seems to be very dull for many Christians. I want to let you into a little secret. Sometimes it is very dull for many Christians. I'm going to tell you why. Because none of them have ever gone out and gone fighting for a soul. You're going to be a soldier. After months and months of physical training, you're physically ready for it. After months and months of learning how to use all of your equipment to load your weapon, strip it, clean it, point it, pull the trigger and hit what it's pointing at, you're probably just about ready. And you're all G'd up, you're mentally conditioned that you are the best of the best, yes sir, and stamping your feet and dropping and giving me 20 push-ups. And still able to run 20 miles with a full pack on your back. That's what soldiers do. And it seems very easy when you say it quickly, but I know it's not. But us as Christians, it's not just the work of a moment, getting ready to go out and serve the Lord. Although you can go out and tell people what the Lord did for you. Just you tell them that the Lord saved your soul for free. Forever and for sure, and that's great. But there's verses of scripture to be learned. That takes up precious TV time. There's sermons to be listened to. That takes up precious computer time. There's outreaches to go on and people to learn from, and that takes up precious drinking time. There's new people to meet and to learn of. Your new family. And that takes up precious carrying on time. And it will take up that time. But there's new battles to be fought. And if we could actually see the war being fought for a soul, whenever we're talking to them about their soul, about their eternity, about the horrible torment that is coming to every single soul that refuses a free gift again. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. You'd have to be a fool to turn it down. If we could see, who was it? Here's a pop quiz for you. Who was it that prayed and asked their servant, asked the Lord to open the eyes of their servant so that they could see the armies of God? Was it Elisha and Gehazi, or anybody? Anything? Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Or Elijah and Elisha? Somewhere in there. You can look it up. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he thought he was about to be smashed into 1,000 pieces by an invading army, and all around the invading army were the chariots of God, filled with angels. And one angel of the Lord killed 180,000 men of war in one night. So bear that in mind. Whenever the Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, I could currently call 12 legions of angels, he wasn't talking about punishing the scribes and the Pharisees. He was talking about wiping out the whole world. That's the power that he has. If we could see the battle that goes on for souls, if we could lean upon the Lord and experience him putting those verses of scriptures, just the very ones that we need, into our mouths, we would know the thrill of walking and talking and serving the Lord and fighting for lost souls. And we wouldn't be worrying about spending the night in a stranger's bed or getting high off of a teaspoonful of powder or a bottle of alcohol. We wouldn't be worrying about doing the tunnel and a bit up the dual carriageway. We would be looking for the next soul to point to the foot of the cross. And so in a way, the old man, he doesn't like being told what to do, and he doesn't like to be have no said to him. But he needs it. He needs it. And it seems hard to the old man. No. Have you ever seen a little child being told, no? You wee lips sometimes. Have you ever said it to an adult to see the look on their face? I remember speaking to a Jehovah's Witness man many years my senior, said, you're wrong. And you're just going to rub him up the wrong way. He said, you're wrong. His face just dropped. So he'd be petted up. Friends, it hurts the old man, but the new man loves it. The new man thrives on it. The new man thrills with the power of God. And we need to educate our appetites. We need to consume the new and reject the old. And we need to not worry. I want to give you a bit of background. Most of the folks in the church, Adrian, they know what happened to me over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I took very ill. Gallstones, which brought about pancreatitis and sepsis, and I just squeaked it into hospital. I was sick, very, very sick for 10 days, and then they took my gallbladder out and then left me to recuperate at home for about a year. And when I went home, I found all of a sudden that Mars bars are not the candy from heaven that people make them out to be. Neither are Tunnock's tea cakes, or gravy, or steak with a nice bit of fat that's just cooked just perfectly and crispy. These things are all not very good for you. I also found the beans didn't quite agree with me anymore. And it came to the point where I just said, what can I eat that'll keep me alive? And I had to educate my tastes away from the sweet stuff, the apple pie, and the apple and rhubarb crumble and fresh cream. And I thought, well, after having spent the last 2 weeks sick in a bed, I wouldn't go back to it for all the apple and blackberry crumble and fresh cream in the world. It's not worth it. And even though, friends, the old man cries out for all of those things, the new man should just grab him by the collar like you do a Doberman and say, no. It's difficult. It's something we need to practice and continue practicing. is whenever you get a taste for heavenly things, the things of the earth should seem like dust and ashes in your mouth. You shouldn't be in love for them. And that's what Jesus needs of us. So when someone takes your money, you say, well, Lord, someone took my money. And you go on. When someone steals your friends or your acquaintances all disappear, you say, Lord, have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you go on. When those that are nearest and dearest to you abandon you, your family and your friends, you say, Father, you promised me fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, hundreds of times more than what I'm going to lose, and you go on. When someone hurts you and goes out of your way, their way, to make sure that they stick one on you, you say, Lord, you did not give me, Lord, vengeance is thine, Lord, not mine. You will repay. When people gang up on you and try to put a fear on you, a bit like they're doing at the moment, say, Lord, you didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power of love and of a sound mind. I'm not going to listen to them anymore, Lord. I'm going to listen to you. And you go on. It's about what you're prepared to let the world, the flesh and the devil take off of you. And commit the loss to God and go on. I'm going to let you into a bit of secret. And this is for the glory of God. I live in a damp, dusty, drafty farmhouse with flaky water and a flaky septic system. And we came across many years ago, Monica came across in her own time, and I came across missionaries. In America, of course, Ireland's not big enough for people to get up to the shenanigans and nobody hear about it. A missionary that confided in my pastor at the time that he needed in his pocket $10,000 every month before he would go out into the mission field. And I thought, I could do with $10,000 in a year. Monica said the same. Her dad said to her, but that's what they need to get them out in the field. What are you prepared to take in the Lord's name and go and do something with it? Are you ready to experience a difficult time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to reach the soul, or to let the Lord rub a rough edge off of you? Are you prepared for that? Because this is what Paul was telling to a young fella starting out in a church. Be ready to endure hardness. And whenever you're fighting for souls, and the world strips these things off you, and it will, you can be sure that God is standing right beside you with his hand on your shoulder. The Holy Spirit is singing and dancing a jig, and the people in heaven are cheering you on. You reach out to those folks who were once just like you, who were lost and needing a Savior. Difficult times will come. Just get ready. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Practice it in the good times. And then whenever the difficult times come, it'll be that bit easier. But it will hurt. God can heal that pain. He can ease that pain. It will leave a mark. But God can take the pain away if you're ready to trust him. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We will finish there for this evening. Amen. Because I'm a lazy devil today, I'm prepared to open the floor for a favourite, to close with a favourite hymn, if anybody has one. Grab a book, have a look, shout out a number or a title, and we will...
11, Mark. In fact, book 11.
Number 11. Did we sing that today? No, we didn't. Number 10 it was. Number 11 in the wee black books. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. Favourable examiner, and they had a good mechanic. And we'll look forward to some good news. Looks forward to some good news. A lot to pray about, folks. We're not going to run over it all, but please do pray for each other, for Andrew and Julie and his family, and all the many names that are on our prayer list. Very much appreciated. God bless you. Safe travels. Will, would you dismiss us, please, if you would, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son on the cross to die for us, and Lord. Give us thank Lord, the first and safety as you go to home the safety, Lord. And Lord, give us the shiny week. Remember Andrew and Julie, and yes. Remember Andrew in hospital, Lord, that you might look over him and turn the tide, Lord, in his condition, Lord. And Lord, heal him mightily and powerfully, that the doctors may marvel at his progress, Lord. And that you may give the glory, Lord, you may save Andrew and his household and his family as well, Lord. Give him this night, Lord. And provide for him and keep him, Lord. Take away the pain, take away anything that endangers his life, Lord. And look over him and bless him and keep him, Lord. And Lord, minister unto him as well, Lord. And let him know that there's a God in heaven that is a saving Father, Lord. There's a loving Father that sent his Son to die on the cross for him as well, Lord. Give us, Lord, give our land, give the COVID-19 threat to the world, Lord, that you might effect a cure, Lord, that you might reach out to people, Lord, and show them that there's a hell to be shown and heaven to be gained, Lord. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and you may use it to promote your love, Lord, and to promote the standard in the world. Remember all the organizations we support. Remember these international open doors, Kids for Schools and Christian Institute, Lord. Use those and all our Christian societies and Christian people, Lord, and authority, Lord. Also, know people, Lord, that are saved, Lord, to promote that cause, Lord, and to promote the gospel to those who are lost, Lord, and to reach out to those who are lost and save those souls, Lord, through Jesus Christ. This night, Lord, give wisdom to the leaders throughout the world, Lord. Remember Boris Johnson, bring him into himself, Lord. They may know that there is a God, Lord, and as you touch and I got prophetic Nebuchadnezzar, and I brought it right to you, Lord. And you might also do it to Portis Johnson, and also to the world. I just remember Joe Biden and others throughout the world, Lord, and save them as well, Lord, in their households, Lord, that the world may rejoice, Lord, in life and my son, Lord, and come to a saving, people may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to be done the cross for their sins and our sins as well, Lord. Give us this night, Lord, to us in their home and safety, Lord. I guess through this coming week, Lord, and may it be a godly week, Lord, for us, Lord. And Lord, pray for Andrew and his family. Yes. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. God bless you, folks. Shake hands, fellowship.